This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Getting a Watchmen TV series, a sequel to not the movie, but the comic book.
Well, that's too confusing for me.
But it's also not a sequel to Before Watchmen, the comic book series.
Oh, you've actually cleared it up for me. Thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Which is
it.
Good or fine?
I remember it being fine.
Wow. Imagine that. What a world.
Yeah, right? I mean, it's famously a comic book that was both considered impossible to follow up on and impossible to adapt.
Yes,
you know,
right.
According to, creator Alan Moore.
Yeah, right.
And here we go. Zack Snyder's Watchmen. Again, famously, Alan Moore had his name taken off the credits.
Absolutely.
You'll notice it's based on the graphic novel illustrated by Dave Gibbons. No mention of a writer anywhere.
No, that's it. I've actually got a short history of how this movie came to be.
Oh, I'm ready to hear about it.
First of all, if people could leave a like on this video, that'd be great. Leave a like. What do you got against it?
Yeah.
Do you like content? So do we. Leave a like. Hate myself. Anyway, Alan Moore.
Well, I like you. At least one person in the room does.
Alan Moore sold the rights to The Watchmen in the 80s. This and also V for Vendetta, which I'd love to cover at one point as well. Also, once you do that, maybe you shouldn't complain so much because you sold it, didn't you?
We should do a whole podcast episode on it. I think the whole situation's fascinating.
We'll
get to it one day. But yeah, the nuts and bolts is Alan Moore did sell the rights to Watchmen to DC.
Terry Gilliam in 1989 was trying to make it work, but he couldn't make it work. He suggested maybe a 5-hour miniseries at the cost of $1 million per page. That feels like something people could do now and are doing now, but in, 1989, it's not going to happen.
I remember when the Flash TV series was touted as being made for $1 million an episode and people were like, oh my God.
Will it be good? And they went, ugh.
I mean, it might be, but also the star might become Dawson's dad in a future TV series.
So that's good too, isn't it? Mm. Yeah.
And then The Flash again multiple times in the future.
Well, that's true, yeah. Michael Bay considered jumping on board in 2003.
Okay.
Great. Hot off the back of the island, no doubt. Or before that. It's not important.
Post Bad Boys, definitely.
It was sold to Paramount in 2004. Paul Greengrass considered doing a loose modern day adaptation.
He's the Bourne Identity guy, right?
That's right. Just the first one, maybe. And Warner Brothers got it back. Darren Aronofsky wanted to do a modern day update with the Vietnam War changed to Iraq.
I was going to say Paul Greengrass's version. It's just the various characters in their civvies disappearing behind buses.
Yeah, that's right.
There's nothing else.
There's nothing else, yeah. Can we make this 3 hours? Yeah. Or a miniseries. But no, Warner Brothers got it back. Darren Aronofsky wanted to make a modern-day update, which meant instead of Vietnam, it was Iraq. Because, politics.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's PC gone mad.
It's PC gone mad and ripped from the headlines.
That's true. Tim Burton was also interested with Johnny Depp being cast as the comedian, but he went on to make Sweeney Todd instead, which was... I saw some of it. I didn't like it. I did not like it. Yeah. Uh-huh. Got any Sweeneyheads out there? Is it a good one?
Sweeneys, hit us up.
Yeah. But like you said, though, it was considered unadaptable. That being said, for a movie that's now 10 years old, it's a pretty fair shot, I would say.
I think so, too. Yeah. And I'm fairly regularly on Alan Moore's side with regards adaptations of his work. League of Extraordinary Gentlemen is a great comic book series and is completely unadaptable to film, as was proven by... The film adaptation of that.
Correct.
But I think this is a pretty solid swing at this movie. I mean, there are some
tweaks.
It's
not as good.
It's not as good. Yeah. That's true, yeah. It's visually very striking.
Yeah, I agree. And there's some of the visual stuff that I think is changed for the worse, which we'll get to. But like you said, generally, there's some good stuff in
this. And there's also some de-squidification, which a lot of people would believe is for the better.
Yeah, well, at the time I was like, I get it, but now I'm like, Mr. Trick there.
Bring the squid in.
Put that giant squid in. We'll get to it. Do you know the first image of this, though? There was a test shot, one frame of Rorschach, which was in the 300 trailer. That was the first we saw of that. Remember people used to do that?
Oh, I think maybe I heard about that, yeah. Do you remember the time Mel Gibson added himself to the Apocalypto trailer?
I remember that. What an era.
He's all, and he's got a huge beard and like crazy hair, and it's like, well, that's actually quite terrifying.
That's our Mel.
I'm not going to see this movie now, and also because Mel Gibson directed it.
I mean, we mentioned the way it looks, and it does look pretty spectacular. The budget for this was $120 million. It's an R-rated comic book movie from 2009, so it only made $185. It did not make its money back. I think it's gone on to do okay since then. Mm-hmm. But it seems a strange movie to be like $120 million on this seems like a good idea for an R-rated comic book movie.
You know, it's a DC property, but it isn't Batman.
Yeah.
It's, if anything, you know, a lot of it is a parody of Batman. Mm. And I think a lot of that is reflected in the visuals. Like we've got, you know, the second Night Owl looks an awful lot like, all the characters also kind of look like Joel Schumacher Batman characters.
The nipples on Ozymandias are an intentional throwback to Batman and Robin.
And I think the trailer has the Smashing Pumpkins song.
Oh, the same song.
No, it's the opposite version. There's two versions of that song, that Smashing Pumpkins
song. Oh, right, okay. The beginning is the end is the beginning of the end.
And the end is the beginning is the end, yeah.
Okay, well that makes sense.
Yeah, so they had reverted. There's a slow version and a fast version. And
And if we're talking about Batman and Night Owl in particular, first of all, I love his ice costume that he wears. He's got a different snow costume. I love that
is so Batman in the 50s.
Absolutely it is. I also love that clearly Zack Snyder was like, I'm in love with goggles and everyone gets goggles. Mm. Because Justice League Batman, of course, famously gets a pair of goggles for no reason as well.
There is a reason. He looks super cool with them on.
Oh, that's a really good point, actually, yeah. But apparently also Zack Snyder was like, do we have to make Night Owl like impotent and overweight? Apparently Patrick Wilson gained like 25 pounds for this role.
Mm. But he still looks pretty good.
He still looks great. That's kind of the point of the character. Yeah. But like, imagine this guy, he stopped being a superhero, but he was still cool and can get boners and had abs. Imagine.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that is, you know, he's taken, and something has been taken away from the comic book and that is, you know, a lot of people are critical of, and I cannot argue with that, is that they've gone, let's not make it real people who've decided to dress up in masks and fight crime. Let's make them superheroes, like in the traditional Batman kind of mold, where somebody can survive being punched through a wall.
Yeah,
or,
just knocking granite off the wall.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which, look, I sort of, if you want to logic your way through it, I'd be like, well, if you fought crime, if you went outside and you punched people all night for years, there'd be very little left of you. You know what I mean? You'd have like artificial hips and replacement knuckles or whatever. You probably could punch through a granite wall and not feel anything. Yeah. But I don't think that was Zack Snyder's intention. No. I think it was just like, oh my God, everybody in this universe can punch through a wall.
Because I think they're definitely heightened comic book characters in this. Yeah. They're that little bit more enhanced. I mean, I think a lot of the action in this is really good, like the alley fight, for example. Mm-hmm. But the prison riot in particular, where they just kind of stroll through and kind of clean up, you know, all the prisoners in there. I think this is some of Zack Snyder's best action in moments in here. But it's definitely not like, they don't feel like real people. The bad guy's clearly Ozymandias. They do not bury that.
That was my criticism at the time. It stands now. And I think that, you know, that's partially a function of Dave Gibbons' work, you know, his illustration at the time.
Yeah.
You know, Ozymandias' character is sort of portrayed as a kindly, you know, he's a very beatific, nice man, and he sounds nice.
He's jovial and having a good time.
You can
time
give
about
him whatever
it.
Voice you want when you read the comic book. But in this one, I watched this with a friend of mine at the time in the cinema, and I think there was like a scene change. Ozymandias was in the scene, and it changed over, and in the transition, my friend leaned over and went, bum, bum, bum. Like there was never any, even for the completely uninitiated to this movie, you're like, well, that's definitely the bad guy.
And you look at the build of the guy who kills the comedian.
Yeah.
It's clearly the same guy. There's actually a moment, it's at 3 minutes 43.
Oh, yes.
On one of the cuts, whatever cut we watch. We'll talk about that.
If you go to 3:43 and it's not there, you're just in the wrong cut. So right, exactly. Try a different cut.
You see his face.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's a stunt man, which I guess kind of throws you off, but that doesn't help either way. But And even things like, actually, I do like this touch that when he's talking publicly and he's talking to the press, he uses an American accent. But because he has German origin, when he's private, he speaks with a slight German accent. And I like little tweaks like that.
What I think the issue was, Zack Snyder was like, well, if you make a movie with a superhero in it, you need a bad guy, and you need a bad guy quick.
Yeah.
Because Matthew Good, who plays Ozymandias, I've seen him in other things, and he's perfectly capable of portraying a very nice man.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he'd be capable of playing an evil man who's, you know, appearing as a nice man, but they clearly gave him the direction, be sinister.
Yeah.
Be weird and sinister in German.
That's right, yeah. So I like the opening credits of this, where it gives you that alternate version of history. You know, with Bob Dylan.
That's
in the background.
Great, yeah.
There's no ambiguity concerning did the comedian kill JFK?
He definitely did.
Or
maybe he was about to and then somebody else did. He's like, oh, man.
Well, good ads, I guess.
I guess I could claim this or not claim it as required.
Well, in the comic, I believe, the original, it's hinted at.
Yes, it
but
is.
But then in Before Watchmen, he was the friend of JFK and
he's actually very surprised, yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, what a... Oh.
Yeah.
Never heard of such a thing.
There's also a moment in the introduction where...
I guess it depends on which one you would prefer.
Yeah, exactly.
How would you prefer JFK would die?
That's a very good James? Question. I'd have to think about it, but gruesomely.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you could, yeah. Mm-hmm. Also in the intro, you see Night Owl stop a mugger out the front of a cinema, the original Night Owl, and that's supposed to be Bruce Wayne's parents.
Yes.
So they kind of divert that happening, which is interesting.
You also see, and this is... Mm. I wonder if this is just parallel thought or it's... deliberate homage. In the comic book and in the movie, we see Dollar Bill, who is a...
Dollar like, Bill's y'all!
Exactly. He's a Limp Bizkit album, and also he's the bank's mascot who decides to start fighting crime on his own.
Right.
And he is killed when his cape gets caught in a door.
Yes.
And then he's shot. And I'm wondering, in The Incredibles, which
it
came
must
out...
be, right? 2004? Yeah.
Yeah, right. Because, yeah, is that why Edna Mode is like, no, capes, because that gets you into trouble. Because of Watchmen, the comic book back in the day, I wonder.
I think so. I think that's probably a callback, yeah. Jackie Earle Haley in this is terrifying and great.
Oh, for sure,
What a good version of Rorschach. Unbeatable. And I love that mask also. Well, not, but he gets beaten. He explodes, I believe, at the
you
end.
You mean he's...
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You've probably heard this, or maybe you've even experienced it. A business gets to a certain size, and then the cracks start to emerge. Things that used to take like a day are now taking a week. There's too many manual processes just grinding away, and you don't have that one source of truth. If this is you, you should know these three numbers. 37,000, 25, 1. 37,000. That's the number of businesses which have upgraded to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, streamlining accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, and a whole lot more. 25. NetSuite turns 25 this year. That's 25 years of helping businesses do more with less, close their books in days, not weeks, and drive down costs. 1. Because your business is one of a kind, so you get a customized solution for all of your KPIs, key performance indicators, in one efficient system with one source of truth. Manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need to grow, all in one place. NetSuite allows you to have the power of all the information in one place to help you make more effective decisions as quickly as possible, so you can keep moving, keep building, keep growing, or have more time off, whatever it is that you're looking to do. Right now, download NetSuite's popular KPI checklist designed to give you consistently excellent performance, absolutely free, at netsuite.com/weeklyplanet. That's netsuite.com/weeklyplanet to get your own KPI checklist. netsuite.com/weeklyplanet. When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of shit, mother f***. Or... sales. I definitely prefer... Don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, Nix, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. You know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect.
Acting's unbeatable.
Unbeatable, Mason. Mm-hmm. Not physically. No. Explodes. But I like the way they represented the mask. It's obviously CGI. You can actually buy masks that kind of do that similar thing now where you breathe in them and they
right. come out and change. Couldn't have done it back in the 80s,
no,
though, could they?
Definitely not. But no, I think, and that definitely adds to, this is more comic book world than the original Watchmen. Because the thing about the original Watchmen is the only otherworldly element is Dr. Manhattan. That's it.
Well, there's some hints. There's some hints. There's sure. There's the idea that there might be some psychics out there, I think.
Okay, right.
But other than that,
nothing overtly like.
No, nothing exactly. Yeah. Mm. It's mostly normal people doing normal stuff. Yeah. And I mean, when they say psychics, they also might mean people like laying out tarot cards in a shopping mall or something. It's never really.
Well, you say normal people doing normal stuff. How well do you think the bullet catch translates to live action?
Oh.
Because that's a big part of the comic where he says that maybe I can catch a bullet.
Yeah.
And then at the end, he does, and his hand's kind of covered in blood, and it's implied sort of that, because he doesn't seem to be, his hand's not really padded in the comic at least.
Yeah, right.
He just hits it at a particular angle where he's able to kind of hold or kind of fall into it and catch it.
Sort of a mind over matter situation, and it seems it's like, you know, it seems like very much in the comic book, like it's kind of down to the wire, like he is amazed that that happened.
Yeah.
And in this, it's kind of just like, pating.
Pating, well that's true, yeah. It's got stuck in his leather glove, all right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'm sold on the Dr. Manhattan effect. Like, it looks good.
Oh, yes.
But I think it's too glowy. And what they did, they put Billy Crudup in, like, a glowy suit so the light would reflect on everybody. And I think that works well to make him feel like he's really in the scene.
Uh-huh. But they wrapped him in Christmas lights.
Pretty much. That's essentially what they did. But I think could have maybe dulled it down a bit where he's just, like, blue with a slight, like, a faint kind of... Right. Do you think that... Is that just me, maybe?
I don't think Zack Snyder's not into subtlety, all right? Right?
Yeah, that's true. What I did think was interesting about that character, though, is his backstory is told really well, for one.
Mm-hmm.
But also, they kept his human voice. And the reason they did that was because he wanted to relate more to humanity. And you see that, and that's a big part of the comic as well. Where
probably could have not been blue then.
Yeah, and also...
Because he can not be blue if he doesn't want to.
And also put your dong away, mate,
obviously.
Yeah,
exactly, yeah.
Yeah, but that was an element of, well, he can speak however he wants, but, you know, I'm going to use my regular human voice.
No, I will not put my dong away in this supermarket.
Do you want to talk about the squid?
Yes, of course I do.
Do you want to explain the comic book ending?
So in the comic book, spoilers for Watchmen,
yes.
Ozymandias' plan is to unite the Soviet Union and the United States by suggesting to them that there is a alien threat somewhere out in space. And they've sent
another dimension.
Yeah, another dimension. And they've sent some sort of scout or some sort of probe onto our planet. And that probe is a giant squid monster, a giant alien squid monster, which Ozymandias has built in a lab and then killed everybody involved with the creation of it. So no one he's the only one who knows that he's truly behind it. But in the movie, he's like, I'm just going to blow up New York and say Dr. Manhattan.
It's like New York and London and probably Sydney, I assume.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you see anyone cheering in front of the Opera House?
Yeah. They did the greatest hits of destructing cities around the world. Yeah, I can see why they did it because I think it kind of, it still works, I feel, but I think it's weird that they went, well, that otherworldly element we're not going to incorporate, but we'll do the bullet catch and the moving mask and the big glowing man or whatever, we're taking the squid out. Yeah,
I think if Zack Snyder had his way, he would have changed a lot of... he would have changed a lot more than just the squid.
You're probably right,
And I think maybe that's why this movie, to me at least, is one of his strongest offerings. It's because he couldn't have changed much without the entire House of Cards kind of collapsing.
I'm surprised how faithful it is.
Mm.
I guess, I think, though, coming off the back of 300, he would have been like, and the studio would have been like, well, that works. So if you just take the core elements of that and adapt it exactly, then you're going to be primo, goodo, slow-mo, speed up.
Yes,
make that happen if you could. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
I've got some notes here on the original draft from 1989 by Sam Hamm.
Oh, I know Sam Hamm.
You know Sam
Not personally, Hamm? But I think he did a lot of novelizations of movies back in the day. I think he did the Batman 1989 novelization.
Well, I hope he did, because if not, you're going to look like a right fool.
I know.
So this is a vastly different version than what we got in the final film. It's 20 years prior. But Veidt's plan to change the world was to travel back in time and assassinate John Osterman via sniper rifle before he becomes Dr. Manhattan.
Okay.
But Dr. Manhattan subsequently kills Veidt instead of letting him live. Another change is Dr. Manhattan subsequently kills Veidt instead of letting him live. So at the end he's like, did I do the right thing? And he's like, I don't know, man. Then this is like, you've been exploded by me.
That's right.
Yeah.
This is signifying my disapproval of what you've done. I've blown you up.
Additionally, in the ending, Dr. Manhattan destroys himself in the past before John is transformed into Dr. Manhattan, causing a rift in space and time. You'll love this. Then Laurie, Dan, and Rorschach are sucked into an alternate dimension and discover a world where they are characters in a hit comic book serial and decide to pick up crime fighting again.
Oh, yeah. Now, they are so meta. And they'd have their own crime fighting serial, too.
Definitely they
Watchmen O's. Side note, Sam Hamm co-wrote the screenplay for Tim Burton's Batman and the story for Batman Returns.
There you go.
But not the novel.
Not very good
Who
movies.
Who did the novel?
Who did do the novel?
Don't know.
I bet it was bloody...
Alan Dean Foster?
Yeah, I was going to say
Alan Dean Foster. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In a different draft, though, by David Hayter, Dan and Laurie still spend the night at Karnak after Veidt assassinates the leaders of almost every country. However, Laurie wakes up later and then gets seriously drunk on champagne, possibly because of the loss of John and Rorschach. She then discovers that Dan is fighting with Veidt, which ends with Dan killing Veidt with a boomerang. So that's a good version too, isn't it?
And then we'd absolutely have some cheering in front of the Sydney Opera House, wouldn't we? He's bloody got him,
hasn't he? So there are multiple releases of this. Which one do you watch? Do you watch the cinema release? Do you watch the director's cut? Do you watch the ultimate cut, which is the one with the Black Freighter animation with Jerry Butler put into it?
Well, obviously you watch the one with Jerry Butler.
Well, apparently Zack Snyder's like, don't watch the Jerry Butler one because we couldn't really find a way to make it work. So we made it, but...
It doesn't
work.
It's
just on the DVD separately, yeah.
But also, do you trust Zack Snyder's opinion?
I mean, it's his version. I guess that's true. I mean, I watched it independently.
Mm-hmm.
And it definitely works as a standalone thing. I think when you weave it in and out of the graphic novel, it definitely would flow better than animation.
Yeah, exactly.
If you didn't know what was going, it'd be like, what is this?
Exactly, and especially from that kind of hyper-real, like colour-soaked reality to sort of flat comic book animation, that is quite jarring.
Yeah. That's a big deal. I got a couple of bits of trivia to wrap things up,
if
you don't mind, Mason.
Please do.
Okay, so we talked about Alan Moore. He was like, I hate people making things that I made, making different things.
Yeah,
so
only I can take things that were created by other people and adapt them into other works. Only I can do that. I'm a wizard and I live in a cave. Carry on.
Zack Snyder was quoted as saying, worst case scenario, Alan puts on his DVD player on a cold Sunday in London and watches and says, yeah, that doesn't suck too bad. Alan Moore commented back saying, though, that's worst case scenario. I think he underestimates what the worst case scenario would be. That's never going to happen in my DVD player. I'm never going to watch this fucking thing. So
also, he doesn't own a DVD player. He owns like some sort of magic lantern situation.
Yeah. And a wicker basket filled with different herbs.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. But reportedly, though, on another occasion, a better tempered Moore said, that's probably a good movie in its own right, but he's indifferent to movies based on his own work.
Mm.
And if you thought that bit of trivia was amazing, how about this?
Is this one more or less amazing?
It's more amazing.
Oh, wow.
This is from IMDb. Snoop Dogg admitted on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, episode 4.9 in 2009, that he fell asleep during this movie.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
I can't imagine, but also what context? Was it in the cinema? Was it on a plane? Was it while recording a rap video?
These are all good questions.
Isn't it though?
Tweet at Snoop Dogg. At what point did he fall asleep? But yeah, that's been The Watchmen 2009. I think it's got merit.
I think so too.
Yeah. And you definitely have to separate it from the comic book material, because if you kind of compare them too closely, it's not as good, is it?
No.
Yeah.
Take some time. Don't shotgun the graphic novel and then go straight to the movie.
We haven't seen any of the new show as of yet, but I feel like setting that decades after the graphic novel is a good way to continue the series instead of trying to adapt it again.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Then again, it might be bad regardless. We just don't know.
We just don't know. Yeah. I mean, you know, the dam is broken on successes to Watchmen.
And you can never put a fish back in a dam, as the saying goes.
Yep. Is that what happens at the end of Doomsday Clock?
Yeah, man, you couldn't get that fish back in the dam.
My goodness.
Yeah. Anyway, this has been Caravan of Garbage, but we also have a show called The Weekly Planet, a podcast where we talk movies and comics and TV shows that comes out every Monday morning. You want to come along? You can. It's free. Check it out if you want. You don't
join
have to.
The party. That's
join
what we
the
say.
Party. That's what we always say.
There's no party.
There's never been one and there never will be. But also, if you want to... But also, if you want us to look at something else for Caravan of Garbage, you got a suggestion. We'll look at it. I've got some Alan Moore stuff here that we could look at.
I'm
what about
excited
this?
To hear about it.
V for Vendetta.
Yep.
From Hell.
Mm-hmm.
LXG.
LXG. There we go.
Constantine. That movie
pretty good.
A lot of that's based
good, solid,
on his work.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The Killing Joke, the animated one.
Oh, all right, all right.
Where Batman has sex with Batwoman. It's weird. It's a weird movie.
I reckon LXG.
Give us a suggestion, but we'll probably just do LXG, all right?
Yeah, that's right. Uh-huh. We've got our hearts set on it.
We're doing it. Anyway, I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter.
I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
Have a good time, everybody.
Grab it out, Jimmy, guys. We'll see you next week. Also, it's Batgirl. You're going to get letters.
I want the letters. I welcome them. Look, who made the bigger mistake in that scenario? Me saying Batgirl instead of Batwoman? Mm-hmm. Or the people who wrote that into that movie?
Good question. Or Batgirl boned in Batman. I mean... Guy's got issues.
It
got problems,
does,
you know?
Yeah.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want, it's up to you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.